Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You hang up being there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So you could just see $600,000
deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government, plus I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. Mm. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. Is who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven, the radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
All right, we're back here and with today's program. And, of course, we read we did this before a couple of weeks ago, because we started off with the name of this podcast. Originally was It's My House, but we've fine-tuned it to what we do, Build Solar Homes. Build Solar Homes. Now, we'll cover trending topics as we've always done over the last 10 and a half years we've been doing this. But Build Solar Homes, that's our new brand, or our rebranding. And today we're going to talk about how to buy land. How to buy land. All right. Primarily by the acre. How to buy land primarily by the acre. So what we're going to do is we're going to take just a little Faith Street motivation, which will be about 4 or 5 minutes, Steve Harvey again, and then we'll be back with the mechanics of how to buy land. And if you got any questions, 425, that's a different number, 619-768-2945. That's 619-768-2945. Or you can call online. I don't know the procedure for that, but people call via Skype or what have you. So just press 1, and that'll put you in the queue, and then we can answer your questions or hear your contribution. So we'll be back in 5 with how to buy land.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors with these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on it. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man.
Use these principles of success.
Yes.
Understand,
yes.
God is just that way.
Yes.
He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right. Matter of fact, we're on Faith Street here. Today on Build Solar Homes, that's the rebranding of our podcast here. We've got over 2,500 podcasts archived. And we've covered all kinds of topics, trending topics. But today, how to buy land. This is very fundamental to us. So if you know absolutely nothing about buying land, this is the podcast for you today. 619-768-2945. Regardless of your credit, we're going to teach you how to buy land by the acre and why you should consider buying land by the acre as well. All right. Now, we will be having live events. We'll be having live events where we're going to be helping people, maybe one of them, buy land by the acre. And these will typically take form in a way of weekend retreats. And here's an inspiration. This is a little short video audio by Neely Fuller. I'm going to play this real quick because we're actually going to be doing what's in this video. So we'll be right back at this. Listen to this because this is one of the activities that we'll be doing on the regular.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net.
Yeah.
Where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that sometimes you are right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you are driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build little shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out. Took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that, So how many black people do you know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I coming along, I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? They were excellent, solid houses that could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and big, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their hands.
Okay, well, we're going to be doing that. We've already got land in a few locations, and we'll be picking up more. And we'll be having weekend retreats, sometimes week-long retreats where we're buying land and we're building. So you don't have to have any fever experience. We'll teach you from scratch. Now, it all starts off with the land, so, and that's what today's podcast is titled, How to Buy Land. First thing, where to buy it. And I'll give you my personal experience. There's a distinction between land and real estate. What I'm talking about specifically is land. But before I go into that, we need to clarify some things, because a lot of people, when they classify land, they look at it as real estate. No, land is land. And there are different distinctions of land, but land isn't real estate, although a lot of people interchangeably, use those two, swap those two terms. Real estate is a permanent fixture attached to land. Now, if there's no, like a trailer park, a mobile home that's not permanently affixed to the land is not real estate, because mobile homes are classified as personal property. That's what a mobile home is. It's not, if it's not permanently attached to the land, it is private personal property, just like a shirt you might wear, a car you might drive, all that's personal property. All right. Now, if you build a structure, a house, no matter what the square footage is, and it sits on a concrete foundation and it is permanently attached to the land, that's real estate. And then when you do that, your de facto senior partner in ownership of that structure is now your local taxing authority. And they'll send you out a tax bill every year, and if you don't pay that tax bill, they'll put their property up. You have an equitable interest in it, but they'll put their property up for sale and sell it, and then you as junior partner are ass out. Thinking all along, well, I got a deed. No, well, the deed doesn't mean you own it. The deed is just a record of what's been happening on this particular lot. That's all that means. But it doesn't give you title. So that's what real estate is. Today we're talking about land. Now, technically speaking and legally speaking, as long as you have to pay a yearly tax bill to a taxing authority, realistically, you don't own it. You have a bundle of equitable rights, you know, because based on zoning, you can live on it, you can farm there, you know, you can put a barn there, a swimming pool there, a basketball court. Those are equitable rights. But as long as you have to pay, though, I mean, they say you own it, but you own a bunch of equitable rights. So let's clear that up. All right, well, anyway, so land in the city versus land in a rural area, or land by the acre, land by the acre. Let me give you my story. I had a squatter, as some of my regulars know, in a house I had have in Washington, D.C., which sits on a regular city lot, residential lot. On that particular block, there are 40 households, because every house is a duplex. So you got, 20 buildings on about maybe an acre, less than 2 acres of land. All right. House valued at $400,000, $450,000, something like that. It's not even on a quarter acre of land, not even on. So it took me about 2.5, 3 years to get that squatter out. Then I said, you know what, man, it's too much bureaucracy in a city the size of D.C. population-wise. Let me find something in the country. So I found something in the rural area. Still own it today. Today we call it Earth Wealth Forest. 4 acres. And this year when I paid taxes on the 4 acres, and I paid the taxes late, as I usually do. I guess I'm going to stop that come this coming tax year. When I get the tax bill, I'm going to start, you know, knocking it out because it's so low anyway. On 4 acres of land, with late fees, I paid $350 for the entire year property taxes on 4 acres of land. An acre of land, to give you an optical vision of it, is about the size of a football field. So I'm a big advocate of buying land by the acre in rural areas because you get a lot more for your money. You get a lot more land for your money. You got a lot more value for your money. You got more space. And the metrics I use, because the metrics I use over dollars or government-issued legal tender, dollars, euros, and all that, pesos, and all that, are natural resources. An acre of land, one of the most valuable resources that is on land. No matter where you live, for the most part, on the planet Earth, you're walking on an ocean of water. You're walking on it. Some places that are desert, you know, there might not be any water, or you might have to drill deeper to tap groundwater. But groundwater is a serious natural resource. Just think about it. You use water to flush your toilet. You use water to wash your dishes. You use water to wash your car. you know, to wash your face, cook meals. And one of the ways that you can tell that there's groundwater, how much vegetation do you have above the ground? Particularly if nobody's watering that. You know, a lot of us water lawns and all that with flowers and all that. But there's a lot of like that's why I call my place Earthwell Forest, because I got a bunch of trees on mine, just the right amount of trees on that 4 acres. But I don't water it. Mother Nature does. It's a natural resource. And it's renewable. But an acre of land where there's plenty of vegetation on it, that man has not watered that land or whatever, typically you've got over 1 million liters of groundwater that you're walking on. Give me 1 million liters of water over $1 million. Nobody's going to steal my 1 million liters of water. And that's just on 1 acre. Nobody's going to steal it. Now, I can eliminate, because I don't buy a bottle. The only time I buy a bottle of water now might be when I catch a flight, and I'm going to switch that up, you know, or when I travel. Because they don't let you go through TSA with that. But if I'm on an Amtrak or a Greyhound or something like that, or in a car or something like that, I have my own water because I have a well. Now, and I, you know, I don't like to say a lot of people, they go to the grocery, and there's nothing if you, I don't have to do that. Now, that's one of the benefits of owning land by the acre. It's less expensive. You get more for your money. And there's a good chance that you're going to have groundwater that you can tap into. So water that you use for your daily needs, and we all use it. Now, there are other natural resources that are attached to that that you can monetize if you want to. Like you can build on it, you can build something on it and live in it. We'll play an audio on that that'll give you some instructions on how to buy land too. When I do play it, I urge you to pay close attention because I basically followed the advice in audio that is called Solar Cabin. And I bought 10 acres of land for $2,000. So everything that we're talking about, that's why we're going to have retreats. And let me give you a number right now. If you're interested in being on my list and receiving land that you can get regardless of credit, you can reach out to me at 425-292-8768. Once again, 425-292-8768. And we'll have what we can put online, but then because we have packages. We have land, and then if you want something on it, like a cabin to live in, a solar cabin, or whatever you want to call it, we have packages where, now, here's the thing with cabins, the solar buildings that we deal with. We will teach you how to build the cabin or solar home on that very land that you purchased. So it's not a turnkey situation. But we'll teach you how to buy the land, and we'll teach you how to build the cabin if you want that particular cabin. But anyway, we're not going through all the details on that today. We'll get more on that tomorrow, Thursday. But if you're interested and you want to be on my list, where you get a phone call from me and or text, where we can send you the list, 425-292-8768. And matter of fact, for the balance of this week, we'll be going over how to buy land and different aspects of it. All right. Now, with this, I mean, like, so you can live in it, because the way we'll be teaching when it comes to building is debt-free building. There's no mortgages involved. Now, you got to come out of your pocket to buy the materials. But, you know, but right now, it's really that simple, because an acre of land, we really break down what an acre of land is, because the average person, they don't know the power of 1 acre. Like I said, you're walking on an ocean of water right now. Wherever you are on this planet listening to me, when you get up and walk, there's groundwater below you. But you're so used to turning on the tap or going to the store and buying a bottle of Evian or Fiji or Deer Park water. And you just haven't been taught on how to monetize that for your own personal use. But it's there. Even out in the desert, because the 10 acres we have, it's out in the desert. We call that place Stubendorf Oasis. Now, it's in a desert area, desert and mountain, but there's vegetation there. That means there's groundwater. So we're going to turn that into an oasis. Now you're in the desert, and all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, we got some activity over there. So we'll go through that as well. But, yeah, buying land by the acre, you're getting more, particularly in a rural area. Let me put emphasis on that. In a more densely populated area, if you happen to find an acre of land available, it's going to be dramatically more expensive, because the more people, the more rules and regulations, the more government, the more expensive it's going to be. If you happen to find an acre of land open, available in New York City, it's going to cost you millions of dollars. Or well into the six figures. I'll put it that way. A million and seven figures is going to cost you well over the six figures for an acre of land. Or even a quarter acre of land can run up into the six figures or possibly even seven figures. So I'm going to play this audio now. He's going to talk about how you can pick up some cheap land, and the advice that he gives in this works, because I listened to it and I tried it and I bought me 10 acres. This is the audio that I did it. And I've had that for 8 years. We'll be back right after this. 619-768-2945. Press 1 if you got any questions, comments, what have you. Or if you're online, press 1, or however they do it on one, do whether it's Skype or whatever they got. If you ever have any input, listen to this. Our topic today, how to buy land.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
All right. We'll be doing that on a regular basis from here on out. If you're interested, and tomorrow we'll do a, consider this the intro show. Tomorrow we'll do part one. Friday we'll be doing part two, how to buy land. And we'll have some pictures up on our Facebook page, which is Build Solar Homes at Earth Wealth Forest. That's our Facebook page, Build Solar Homes at Earth Wealth Forest. If you want to get on a mailing list or text list where we send out land that we have available for sale, regardless of credit, you can contact me by phone or text. Or text will probably be easy, and I can, with your name, so I can record it. I have a record of it, rather. Is 425-292-6887. Oh, excuse me. No, that was wrong. 425-292-8768. Once again, 425-292-8768. One more time. You can text me at that number. Just say, put me on a land list. 425-292-8768. Okay, so didn't see any hands go up. Real quick, if you got any questions or comments, press 1. And if we don't have any questions, I mean, we got an audience, but nobody's got any questions. Now, today was the intro show, or a podcast, rather, on how to buy land. Tomorrow we're going to go into part 1. Today we just did an introduction. Tomorrow is part 1. How to buy land. So we'll give you information that you did not receive today on tomorrow. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.